This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. And again, at the end of the program, I'll give you my mailing address and website address so that you can contact me either through the website or by regular mail if you would like. We would be happy to take your comments and prayer requests. And remember, this program is available on the website as well. Now, today I want to start a series on worship, and actually that's what the Bible is really all about, is who are we going to worship, and of course, who we worship determines our eternal destiny, and who we worship determines whether or not we're pleasing God, and the matter of worship is a matter that really is embodied in the Ten Commandments when the Lord says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And of course, when we come into the New Testament, this matter of worship is extremely important because in John 4, the Lord tells a woman who has had five husbands and is now living apparently with the sixth man that the Father is seeking such to worship him. And they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. And of course, that's in contrast to the Samaritans who were worshiping in the wrong place. They were not worshiping according to the instructions that had been given the children of Israel. And that was contrary to the Jews who had the instructions, but who had become very ritualistic in their worship and were not worshiping from the heart. And so the Lord says, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I am a firm believer in the fact that nobody really worships the Lord properly until they are born again. I believe that we are born of the first birth, water, and of the Spirit, the second birth, in John chapter 3. And until we have been born of the Spirit, that is, until we have believed on the Lord and become children of God, as it says in John 1, we do not really worship the Lord. Now, many people say they're worshiping because many people look at worship as a ritualistic outward ceremony. And while ritualistic outward ceremonies are often associated with worship, yet we do know that the outward ceremonies that are associated with worship are meaningless as far as the Lord is concerned until we have our hearts changed so that we are truly willing to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth from the heart. That's why it says in Romans chapter 10, for example, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved, because the Lord does know our hearts, and he knows whether the things that we are doing and calling worship, he knows whether that is from the heart or not. Today, we talk about worship, and we are assigning that term to a 15, 20, 30-minute session at the beginning of our church services where we get very emotional music. And the question is that really worship? Well, there may be some people in that audience who are truly worshiping during that period of time, but there are other people who are simply getting involved emotionally in the music and who have never had their hearts truly touched in such a way that they are truly worshiping the Lord. Worship can involve our posture. You can bow down to worship. It can involve, of course, our obedience. It involves our trust. All of these things are involved when we worship, but we just want to emphasize that when it comes to a relationship with the Lord, a true worshiper has to be a true truster. He has to be one who is trusting in the Lord. Without faith, Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we start out believing that he is. And then after we come to the conclusion that God exists, then by reading the scriptures, we have to find out that the God that exists was manifested to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the people who believe that he does embody all that God is, that he himself was God made known in the flesh, those people who then trust him are worshiping God, and they will show it, of course, ceremonially perhaps, by their obedience, by other things, but they will show it by the things that they do. Worship is a hard thing to define. Some people say worship is simply worth-ship. It's expressing the worth of someone or something, and that's true. It involves, obviously, thanksgiving. It involves praise. But when we really try to define worship, sometimes I say that worship is hard to define, but you know it when you see it. We say that about other things, of course, when most of the things that we say this about are usually things that perhaps we ought not to see. But we can watch people and we know what they're really worshiping. You know which singers, which actors, which athletes, which politicians. We know which ones people are involved with and that people are worshiping because that they're the ones that they talk about and they're the ones that they are involved with. They're the ones that they memorize all of the memorabilia about them. They may collect memorabilia about them. And when it comes to athletes, they memorize statistics. And when it comes to some of these singers that people worship, they buy all of their records and they listen to all of their records. And when it comes to actors, they obviously listen to or go to their plays or they go to the movies that they have acted in, and they know all of those things, and they're just occupied wholly with those people. So while worship can involve our posture, kneeling, and it does involve obedience, but it certainly involves trust, and it is seen by the attitude of the person who we're watching. And the question I have today is, if somebody that did not know you were to analyze who you worship, what would they say? What would be the answer? And in some cases, they would obviously know that you worship an athlete or an actor or someone like that, particularly the younger generation. But in a lot of cases, they would have to say that person worships themselves. Because I believe that ever since the Garden of Eden, that has been one of our biggest problems. A person wants to become like God, knowing good and evil. And so Satan does his best to say, why should you obey that God who says he's God? You know what's right and wrong. And so people tend to make decisions as though they were God themselves. And I think one of our biggest problems today when it comes to our relationship with God is being willing to submit ourselves to God himself and to recognize that we are his subjects and that we are not God ourselves. We tend to worship the things that we find very important, and of course our lives are very important, and most of us think that our intellects are very important, and so we tend to worship ourselves, and I believe that that is a problem today. Now in Revelation 22 verses 8 and 9 we read about John, who had gotten all of these wonderful revelations that he probably didn't understand, but which he records. And at the end of the book, Revelation 22, chapter, or verses 8 and 9, we read, "Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, 'See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.'" And I read this primarily to show how easy it is for us to get sidetracked with regard to our worship. The Lord wants us to worship Him. He doesn't want us to worship that which He has created. He doesn't want us to worship that which He has used. I sometimes say we, as Christians, sometimes worship our churches. Sometimes we worship the ceremonies of our churches. They're good ceremonies, but we can worship them. We can actually worship the breaking of bread or the communion service rather than worshiping the God that we're supposed to be worshiping through it. In other words, that can be the focal point of our life, thinking that that is what God finds important. What God finds important is our trust in Him. And when we trust Him, of course, we will want to be at a communion service. We will want to remember the Lord in the breaking of bread. We will want to do that often, as the Bible says. But nevertheless, as we look at the scriptures, it's easy for us to do what John did. John, no doubt, was a worshiper of the Lord. John was no doubt a faithful apostle, but yet John, seeing this, these things being revealed by this angel, this angelic minister, he wanted to fall down and worship Him. And of course, his posture in this case was indicating that he was worshiping Him. And he was giving this angel a superior place to he himself. He was falling down. He was saying he was subject to the angel. And the angel says, no, don't worship me. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And so I've read this to help us remember that our focal point when we read the Bible is to worship God and not to worship, not to get aside and worship the things that teach us about God and not to worship the ceremonies that are perfectly good representations of worship when our hearts are right. We are to worship God Himself. And I wonder how many of us can honestly say that we have our hearts focused completely upon God. If our hearts are focused completely upon God, they're focused completely upon the Lord Jesus. In the Old Testament, they were to worship Jehovah. But Jehovah was the personal name of their God, and in the New Testament, He is revealed to us as Jesus. And so my question at the end of this program is, what does the Lord Jesus mean to you? To those of us who are saved, it's simple. He means everything to us. We love Him because He first loved us. He died for our sins. He saved us. And we are now desiring to worship Him, praise Him, thank Him, obey Him, and we want to do it from the heart, in spirit, and in truth. I believe it takes a new birth to have that desire. And so, again, we trust that those of you that are listening are worshiping God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for Thy blessing upon this program, and we trust that Thou wilt use it for Thy glory. We thank Thee for Thy love in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.